This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm back, folks, off of vacation. Steve Geller here with Charlie Long, bringing until 8 p.m. this evening. Got enough of the Mouse's house in Florida, so back here on Sports Talk, and it was a great day. There was a Saints availability at their lunch area, I guess you would say, the cafeteria. We were in the upper part getting to talk and meet with the coaching staff, Kellen Moore and all his assistants. Really cool stuff, just getting to vibe with all them and experience some of the food that the new Saints facility has in store over there. Huge upgrade, really beautiful digs, and congratulations to the Saints on that. I know Bobby Hebert mentioned last hour that it was one of the issues that players at least had in the NFLPA survey surrounding their dining area. Well, check that off the list. It looks great, including another for those VIP fans that get to come to those indoor practices, a elevated area now. You can look out onto the practice field. I sure wish the media could take part in that, because it really is just a perfect view of the field, being above everything to see it too, instead of being on field level. That's the one thing I laughed about, Charlie, too, when getting to be the Saints sideline reporter. You have a terrible vantage point watching football then.
Oh, yeah. You're, like, just watching it straight up. It's a lot easier, and that's why, you know, Haas and Deuce can kind of see everything developing
from the press box.
The first time I was actually up in the press box of the Superdome was for the New Orleans Bowl a couple years back when UL played Jacksonville State, and, I mean, it was incredible. You're so high up, but you get to see everything kind of develop as a play is happening.
Amen, right.
Yeah, so, no, I can imagine that it's a little bit more difficult when you're right on the sideline.
Looking at some of the audio we got today, got to talk with head coach Kellen Moore, defensive coordinator Brandon Staley, also QB's coach Doug Nussmeier, and actually he's the offensive coordinator.
Yes, sir.
He was a QB's coach. He's now been elevated.
Correct. And, you know, a lot of guys got promotions coming from, you know, the Eagles staff to here.
Philadelphia South.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. No, I would love that. Trust me. So, but yeah, he's now the offensive coordinator, although Kellen Moore, as we've said, will continue calling plays by his own account.
Talking about Kellen Moore, we'll get into his audio right away. Had a lot to talk about Derek Carr, which I know all you Hoodites want to hear about. So here's Saints head coach Kellen Moore from today's session.
What is kind of your guys' approach right now with free agency coming up? Just kind of figuring out where you want to go?
Yeah, it's just obviously a lot of conversations that already have occurred, and now it's just going through the process. And, you know, trusting the conversations we've had previously, and then, you know, we'll navigate that however it plays out.
Kellen, what makes Brandon a good fit?
Yeah, I think just, you know, his experience in this league, his versatility and ability to play in multiple ways, I think will allow us to suit our players best. And, you know, I'm really, really excited to team up with him again.
Kellen, with Derek, you guys, the report that came out with him saying that, like, wanting to keep him and like the envision, how do you envision him now that you're keeping him this season?
Yeah, I think we've been consistent through this whole process. We feel really good about Derek and really excited to team up with him and things that he can do for us and you know, the things that he can help lead us in, into some special ways.
Why was the restructure the best option for you guys?
Yeah, I think that's obviously just the business side of it. You know, obviously playing conversations on that side of it. And, you know, again, at the end of the day, we want him here and it'll be a good situation.
Did you guys ask him to take a pay cut?
I mean, they just have conversations like any player on the, this roster, and so there's a lot of conversations that happen with, you know, Mickey, Kai, agents, and you know, usually we stick to the football, and usually it suits out better that way.
What were you looking for collectively in your coaching staff in terms of attributes?
Yeah, a really balanced staff. You know, I think we got some guys with a lot of experience. We got some younger guys with some juice and energy, guys that have been exposed to some different types of football, and I think you know, that challenges each and every one of us each and every time. And so I think we got a really excellent group. I think you can tell really great teachers, really great communicators, you know, guys that will be able to connect with our players at a really high level.
There's a lot of guys on the defensive coaching staff in particular that came straight from the college ranks. Just kind of what's the advantage of having guys come from that perspective into the NFL?
Yeah, obviously anytime you get to teach at that level, just the detail and communication that those guys have is really, really high level. Obviously going through the draft process is kind of funny because a lot of these guys have been recruiting these guys in multiple ways, whether it be portal, wherever it may be. And so, you know, a lot of exposure to these guys, which I think will benefit us as we go through this process.
What made TJ someone that you targeted, and what makes him a good coach?
Yeah, just, you know, again, references sometimes are really, really valuable just at the beginning of this process, and just heard his name so many different times from all people from all different exposures. And so, you know, quickly, when I was able to kind of connect with him, you can quickly tell this is a high-level coach, really great communicator, the energy, the juice that he brings. He's been doing this at a high level in college for a long time, and, you know, shoot, he even, you know, slid into the combine process, and he slid in and just started going, and it was really, really impressive.
When those conversations with Derek Carr were occurring, was there any point where he or his agent sought a trade or kind of exploring his options?
We just talked about our obviously confidence in this situation and the ability for him to have success here. You know, I think we got a great group here, from the players, the coaching staff, to the environment that we're going to be able to create for him. Felt really, really good and comfortable with what we're going to be able to provide.
You mentioned earlier about going through the process at like their opening presser. How soon into the process did you know Derek was your guy, or did you know right away and just didn't?
Yeah, certainly you take this job with the intentions of you know, some of the top players being here, and we felt very comfortable with them. Obviously, anytime you go through these things, it's great to connect first as people and build those relationships and go from there. And so, you know, I'm really, really excited to work with them.
How did today's trade kind of fit into what you guys want to do defensively?
I think just in general, as we're building this roster, I think, you know, again, building it up front, you know, with size and ability to stop the run, and obviously you need the pass rush in obvious passing situations, and we'll just continue to find different ways that we can utilize that, and that'll be a focus of ours.
Is there like a chemistry process that you got to go through with just like Mickey and Jeff and the pro scouts, just like communicating and learning how to communicate with them?
Like any walk of life, communication is critical, and so there's a lot of conversations, and we just kind of get used to the rhythm and the timing of everything. And so I feel fortunate to get a chance to team up with these guys, you know, this group with Mickey and Jeff and Kai, Michael, you know, these guys have been doing it for a while, and so there's great experience there.
How aggressive do you plan to be over the next couple days and weeks in free agency? How aggressive?
You're certainly ready to adjust and go at any point. And so certainly there's a lot of guys on our current team that are, you know, guys that we'd like to talk through from a contract perspective, and then guys around the league. And so, you know, we've evaluated a lot of these guys, had a lot of conversations, and now it's just applying that as these conversations continue.
What was it about Joel Thomas that stood out to you about, you know, him getting that promotion to associate head coach?
Yeah, Joel's an excellent, excellent running back coach. I think he's an excellent leader. I think there's a lot of leadership that's going to come with Joel coming back here that we're really, really excited about, and the things that he can, not just the running back room, but for the entire team, he's going to be a big key role in this thing.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore addressing the media today, and definitely something that I thought was pretty awesome for this team today, that trade acquiring Davin Godchild for just a 7th-round draft pick. Nice add for this D-line that needs some big beef up front.
Yeah, he's the nose tackle for this 3-4 scheme. And, you know, the one thing that really stands out about him, obviously coming home, it's really great. But also the fact that he's played every single game for the Patriots over the last 4 years.
Hopefully we're not a jinx.
You know, we said the same thing about DeJounte Murray, and we saw how that went. So fingers crossed.
Exactly.
But the availability has been fantastic for this guy. He's been a really strong run defender as a nose tackle. You know, Mike said a little bit of the juice that he can provide in pass rush from the middle of that defense. But you just need the big fellas to be able to plug those holes, right, and take attention on the interior of your defensive line in a 3-4 scheme. And that's exactly what Devon Godshaw can do. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do with the black and gold. I think it's a good pickup. You didn't have to give up anything to get him. It's a 2026 seventh-round pick.
And he reworked his deal.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, that's been the highlight for the Saints so far today. You don't have money to spend in free agency, so it's not like you can go out and enjoy getting all these big-name additions like some of these other teams have been doing so far. But I like it. It was a good kind of under-the-radar pickup.
Taking a break, we'll get in more to what we heard today from Saints head coach Kellen Moore and the rest of the coaching staff. Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak will join us right after the break. Stay tuned on WWL.
What is Daxer?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller with Charlie Long now welcoming Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, into the radio huddle. Jeff, how you doing today, man?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Doing all right. I should have saved some of those sliders and brought them to the studio with me because I'm hungry now.
Yeah, you know, I'm one of those people that, like, in that moment, I'm like, man, I don't want to overeat. But then,
exactly.
Like, 4 hours later, I'm like, oh, man, I regret not eating, like, 6 more of those. Yeah.
That and the wings, too. I only had 3. I could have definitely dove into much more of that. That was an awesome display they put out for us. I appreciate that from the Saints. But into more important things that the fans actually care about is, you know, getting to meet and greet the Saints' entire coaching staff for the first time. just wondering your first impressions of, you know, getting to, you know, kind of go around in a speed dating kind of situation where we had little venues where we're off to the side with all these different coaches and, you know, some familiar faces back in the mix too, but obviously a lot of new guys and some Philly influences definitely with this coaching staff in New Orleans now.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting scene because like you said, there were several faces, you know, that were there. That was like, yeah, I recognize that guy, but it's kind of this new vibe. Like Adam Gristic, who's now the assistant linebackers coach, I talked to him at the Senior Bowl, and it was kind of funny because he was just like, yeah, I have no idea whether I'm going to have a job in a few weeks. And I talked to him today, and I asked him, I was like, so how honest were you being in that moment? Were you like, did you really have no idea? He was like, dude, I had no clue. You know, he didn't have any connection with Peter Sermon, who's the new linebackers coach. So it just kind of came to be like, hey, I have this job. And he appreciated that because, you know, his wife's 7 months pregnant. It's their second daughter. So he's like, we didn't really want to move. So it's kind of a good opportunity for him to stay here. Obviously, he's done some really good work in that linebacker room, some really good linebacker development. But no, it just in general, you know, it kind of had a fresh vibe to it, right? Like, this isn't what happened when Dennis Allen took over. This isn't what happened when he rebuilt the offensive staff in year two or in year three or the defensive staff in year two. It was kind of, hey, we're going to just roll from one season into the next. And, you know, it's going to be something different. Like, we're going to have a new offense. We're going to have a new, you know, defensive vibe. But it isn't this complete tonal shift from one regime to the next, the way today kind of signaled that it would be. And you kind of get that vibe from the people in the room. Like, everyone in there is excited. Now, this is the time to be excited. Nothing bad has happened yet to be upset about. But that's kind of the vibe. Like, talking to Brandon Staley for the first time, like, you know, he's a really intriguing guy. And when you listen to him talk, you can really appreciate, okay, this guy was a head coach in the NFL, right? Like, there's certain guys in that room that you feel really can kind of command that room a lot more than others, and you kind of get an idea of, okay, that's why this guy got a head coaching job. That's why he's at the top of the ladder for defensive coordinator jobs, and some of these guys are still working their way up the ladder. But, no, I mean, I really like the vibe that Kellen has kind of created. I really appreciate the Saints for giving us that access today. It's not something I've experienced in the past. I don't know if they've done it way back when they hired Sean Payton's staff for the first time. I couldn't tell you whether that happened then. But it was a really good opportunity to kind of get the pulse of everything going on in that room.
Yeah, I was definitely looking forward to, you know, getting to hear from Brandon Staley, his thoughts, you know, about joining the Saints staff, had glowing things to say about the city and Kellen Moore. But just overall, curious on, you know, what kind of direction he has this defense going. Obviously, we know they need to improve a lot of areas up front. They did a little retooling already, bringing in former LSU standout defensive tackle Davin Godchow to the mix here. And then curious to see, you know, we keep hearing about the switch to a 3-4 defense, but I feel like Staley wouldn't completely commit to that, saying they're going to be more flexible and kind of leave their options open depending on what this roster, how it shakes out.
Yeah, you know, we're really early on in this process, and that's why, you know, today I didn't bug a lot of these guys with really specific questions about, oh, what's this going to be? Because, like, a lot of the questions don't have answers right now.
Right.
Right? Like, a lot of what Brandon Staley is going to bring in, and this is what he talked about, and I'll get to more in a second, but, like, it's going to be based on the personnel. It's going to be based on who's in the building. And I do think it's funny. Like, I asked Brandon about this today. He was Kellen Moore's boss 2 years ago. He was the head coach with the Chargers, and Kellen Moore was his offensive coordinator. 2 years later, Kellen Moore is the head coach of the Saints, and Brandon Staley is the defensive coordinator. And he said it's not awkward at all, like, because they know each other so well, they agree on so many things, like their leadership styles are so similar that they work really well together. And, you know, if that's true, great. It is, like, I think he's downplaying the weirdness that could be in play there. And so, like, for so many people put in that scenario, like, if suddenly a guy who was your boss is now your subordinate and it's not a weird thing at all, I think if that's the case, it does speak to the working relationship there. And hopefully if that is the case, they can hit the ground running. But like you were talking about with the 3-4-4-3 thing, Brandon Staley is a 3-4 guy, right? He comes from the Vic Fangio tree. You're going to see those elements in this defense. That's why you went out and got I need to learn how to say his name correctly. I've been saying Godshaw forever. It's Godshaw, based on his Twitter handle, right? And so, you know, you brought him in because he's a nose tackle, because he can play that role, and it's really not something that you've had on this defense. So you needed to find somebody who could fill that role in base personnel. But from there, I do think that you're going to see this defense play to its strengths, play to its personnel's strengths, be versatile. And that's what Brandon talked about. It's what Kellen talked about. You know, more so than being specific, this is what we do. This is what our defense does. It's going to be, hey, how do we need to play to win this week? And one thing that Kellen really likes about Brandon Staley's defense is it's versatile. You can do a lot of different things within it, so you can combat all these different types of offenses that you're going to face week in, week out. That's the problem when you look at a defense and you say, okay, what is this defense? Well, it's this scheme. It's a, you know, an even front. It does this. You press man. Well, that's great against in certain matchups, right? But what about the matchups it's not great against? Can you adjust and play differently against teams that force you to do different things? And I think that's what, when you kind of simmer down, you know, boil down what Brandon Staley's defensive philosophy is. It's not so much, hey, we religiously do this, we religiously do this. Now, you're going to have rules. You're going to have things you have to do. But the priority of his defense is to be able to mix and match and figure out the best scheme every week to beat the opponent on the table. And, you know, I think that's something that he's gotten into trouble with in the past, because it does get a little too complicated. At a certain point, you just want to be able to do one thing really well and win that way. But I think, you know, they're just kind of leaning into this versatility element of that defense. And I'm interested to see where they go with it, how they adjust the personnel to match that. But, you know, I don't think they're going to be able to do a ton outside of drafting a bunch of guys. Like, I don't think you're going to see them go crazy in free agency. They haven't really done much yet. Paulson Adebo is gone. He's with the Giants. He signed today. We haven't seen the Saints linked to anybody yet. I would be surprised if they're tripping over themselves to get into the market early. I do think they're going to make some moves, but they're not in any rush to do it. And it's all going to come down to, okay, what do you need to run this scheme the way you want to run it? And that's something Brandon Staley and Kellen Morgan have to figure out.
Big news, obviously, over the weekend was the Saints restructuring quarterback Derek Carr's contract. Much to the dismay, sadly, of most Houdats out there. But, you know, we just talked to the Cajun Cannon last hour. He still believes that Carr gives this team the best opportunity to win next season, whether folks want to believe that or not. But what are your thoughts of just another year of Derek Carr in the mix here? And it seems we'll be battling it out again between Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener as the backups.
Yeah, I think the disconnect for me in the Derek Carr conversation is it's so much driven by, I just don't like this guy. And I'm not saying me personally, I'm just saying that's kind of the sentiment out there is right. Like, hey, a lot of people just don't like Derek Carr. It's not about the play on the field, but people have convinced themselves that because they don't like the quarterback's playing badly. And that's the problem, is he hasn't played badly by any measurable statistic. He's not playing badly by any objective metric. He's not playing badly. The guy's completed 68.8% of his passes since being here. Now, granted, he's been hurt. He's been dealing with injuries. That's not QB play. That's just unfortunate, right? He's thrown 40 touchdowns against 13 interceptions. I think any quarterback in the NFL, you would sign on for a 3-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. He started 10 games last year. He was sacked 8 times. In the 6.5 quarters that Spencer Rattler played, give or take one or two, he was sacked 22 times. So that kind of gives you a picture of he was avoiding sacks that were being taken when he was not on the field. He's a solid quarterback. Is he a great quarterback? No. I mean, I think we can all agree on that. This is not a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, but he's being paid as the 16th best quarterback in the NFL, and I would argue that that's exactly where he is. And so if I'm Kellen Moore and I'm walking in the building, I'm saying, hey, I'm not interested in walking into a scenario where I'm going to lose 14 games where my ceiling is 5 wins. Like, I'm not interested in that. So who gives me the best chance to win? It's going to be Derek Carr. Now, I know a lot of people out there would have preferred if maybe he would have taken a pay cut, maybe he would have worked with the team on some sort of reworked contract to make the job easier around him. I think if Derek was worried about PR, if he was worried about people liking him, he would have done that. that's probably my biggest criticism of Derek and how he's handled himself, is I don't think he's done enough. He's made enough of an effort to make inroads and get people to like him. And maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's leaning into the villain arc. You know, maybe this is the Dark Knight Rises. You know, maybe the hero we need versus the hero we have. You know, that sort of thing. I don't know. Like, at the end of the day, for Derek, he's kind of painted himself into a corner, and that corner is either you win games or you are despised, right? Either you go out there and you play really good football, or there are no redeeming qualities. And, you know, it's a tough place to be. I wouldn't want to be in that situation. I probably would have made more of an effort to you know, fix that. Maybe it wouldn't have worked, but I probably would have tried. Either way, this was always the likeliest scenario. I don't think the Saints had a ton of options. And the option they chose, the road they chose, was the road where the quarterback that they're investing a lot of money in this season is the quarterback on their roster, which the alternative scenario was you're paying that quarterback either way, but you're paying him to leave. And I don't think the Saints had any interest in doing that. So that's kind of where you are. You have Derek Carr. He's your quarterback. Now, is there any lingering thing going on in that whole situation? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. He's been very quiet. We haven't heard a peep, really, right, from Derek all off season, which is different from last year. Last year, he was a little more out there. He was making a point to be more out there. That has not been the case this year. So we'll see. You know, maybe he reemerges at some point. Last year, he was at that golf event with Drew Brees. Maybe that's a thing he does again. But, you know, just you strap in. You got at least one more year, in my opinion, of Derek coming at you.
So, Jeff, at this point, you're still $7 million over the cap via overthecap.com. The restructure of Derek Carr lowered his cap number to $20 million. This does include all the latest moves as well with Devon Gotcho and everything. You're still $7.1 million over, so what do you kind of anticipate happening next?
Well, it was reported that Nathan Shepard, I think Josina Anderson had that, that he's going to get a one-year extension. And, you know, one of the reasons you do that is he was going to count $7 million against the cap this upcoming season. So you should be able to lower that number. I don't know exactly how much, but that'll take a bite out of that. Mike Triplett from New Orleans Football, he reported that DeMario Davis is probably going to get restructured. So that'll be about $6 million. So I'd imagine those two moves alone would get you there. And then from that, you know, if those are the moves you choose to execute now or you wait and do those later to free up space for your draft picks for any free agents, it doesn't really matter. But you also have Cesar Ruiz, which is a kind of a no-brainer restructure that'll probably happen. You know, a guy in his mid-20s who's going to be part of this picture for a while. Carl Granderson is the other guy who feels like a likely restructure, but it really depends on whether you think he fits what you want to be doing on defense. Because if you don't, then maybe he becomes a trade candidate more so than a restructure candidate, because his contract is still kind of clean to the level that you wouldn't really have a hugely difficult time moving him in terms of the money. So that's just something to keep in mind. But from a cap perspective, I mean, it's not going to, you're going to knock it out tomorrow. Probably. I'd be surprised if they take it all the way down to Wednesday. And from there, it's going to be, okay, how active do you want to be in free agency? How much do you need to clear to bring in a few veteran players? Who are you going to target? I would expect the Saints to be kind of in this second wave of free agents. They don't typically operate in the first wave. Everyone freaks out when they don't. You see all these signings, like, where are the Saints? They're twiddling their thumbs. This is what they do. They just take their time. But I think that the cap is really not the issue at this point. Once you made the decision to stick with Derek Carr and restructure that deal, it became very uncomplicated for this year. Now, it'll be complicated next year, but that $30 million really kind of solved that problem for you.
Definitely appreciate the time, Jeff. I hope you have a great evening, and be talking to you soon on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. Take it easy, my man.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good one.
Saints sideline reporter and WWL's digital content producer, Jeff Nowak, joining us there. We're going to take a break, get back into more of our Saints sound bank when we return. So stay tuned right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, getting into our Saints sound bank after meeting with some of the assistant coaches and head coach Kellen Moore as well today at the Saints facility. New offensive coordinator Doug Nussmeier back in black and gold was a quarterback here. Also got a quarterback son that's up the road at LSU. Talked about that and a whole lot more. Here's what Nuss had to say at today's availability at Saints camp.
What is it about Kellen Moore that's made that relationship so unique and you guys have been tied to each other for so long?
Well, other than the fact that he played at Boise State, so once we remove that, you know, Kellen's just, he's so smart, so bright, understands where he wants to go, and just does a great job of finding a way to get there. And it might not be his straightest path, but, you know, his ability to look at different things, look at circumstances, understand, you know, where he wants to end up and find a way to get there.
I know the team made the decision on Derek Carr with his contract restructure. Just your thoughts on working with him and building an offense with him as your quarterback.
Yeah, excited about our whole room, you know, really excited. That was part of the opportunity, you know, that when you look at opportunities and you're in the quarterback room, just really excited about Derek, what he's done in his career. Great admiration for what he's done. Really looking forward to what we can build off of here. And then, you know, obviously Spencer, Jake, Ben, those guys all bring great things to the table too. So really looking forward to, you know, we're in this phase here. We got a lot of evaluation going on of, you know, our system. We're also looking at players and free agency in the draft. And then really looking forward to the opportunity when we get our players here.
What was your impression of this team when you guys played them?
Really good football team. You know, obviously that was a very difficult game. Fortunately, we were able to, you know, get the mesh play at the end there to Dallas, get the ball down there, scored late, and won the game. But, you know, a lot of respect for this team.
You just talked about working with Derek Carr, but when you translate the championship run to a team that struggled in this past season, how do you do so? How do you look forward to doing that?
Well, you know, last year we went through a situation in Philly where everybody said it's a struggle, it's a challenge. Every team, you know, every place you go in this league, it's a challenge. This league is built to be an evenly balanced league. That's why the draft structure the way it is. That's why the salary cap is the way it is. So, you know, every opportunity is unique. Every team's unique. So our goal is to build the best possible team we can here in New Orleans.
What would you tell yourself about 20 years ago when you were playing for the team that you'd be the offensive coordinator?
I don't know that I ever had the foresight to think that way. You know, I didn't know at that, you know, point in time, my goal wasn't to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL. My goal was to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. Obviously, fell far, far short of that goal. But, you know, like I said, just the career path that we've been fortunate to go on and for it to come full circle here, just blessed.
Your team showed this past season how important having a good running back is. What do you think about the running back room at the Saints have right now?
Well, you know, obviously, I have a little bit of history with Alvin. Was at Alabama with him for a short period of time there, so thank the world to him. I think, obviously, like every other room, you know, we're going to create competition, feel really good about the players. Obviously, we're going to acquire players, and the whole goal is just for us to get the system in place, get everybody together, and then just start working towards the goal of being the best team we can be.
To have a guy like Taysom Hill, just how much better does he make an offense?
I think anytime you have players that can play in multiple roles, it creates a real problem for the defense because they don't really know when they go on the field what they're out there to do. I mean, you know, certain players, you know, defenses know as soon as the guy crosses the white lines, it comes into play. Okay, he's going into play tight end or he's going into play receiver. When you have guys that can play multiple roles, it creates a whole, you know, a whole other element for the defense to have to think about and what type of formation presentation they might be getting, where's the alignment's going to be, who's going to be at what position. So it's challenging for them.
And you mentioned the years that you've been with Kellen. How have you seen him grow over these last two seasons that you've been with him?
I think he's just grown in every aspect of coaching. Obviously, you know, he hasn't been coaching for a long, long time. So obviously he's grown tremendously in every way.
Another quarterback on this Saints roster in Doug Nussmeier played the position with the New Orleans Saints, was a 94 fourth round pick for them. Broncos, Colts, Bears, started getting into coaching with the BC Lions way back in 2001. Even had a stint at Fresno State in 2008 as an offensive coordinator and the QB's coach there, and just missed Derek Carr, who was there at Fresno State his first season in 2009.
Yeah, so with Doug Nussmeier, we've talked about this a lot with him, been there every step of the way with Kellen Moore. So when he's talking about the growth, the quote-unquote tremendous growth that Kellen's had, nobody knows it better than Doug Nussmeier.
Right.
From Dallas to the Chargers to the Eagles. They've worked with each other. There's a comfort level with these two guys, basically, that they've developed over the past 7 to 8 years, that it made all the sense in the world for him to come from Philadelphia to join the Saints staff as the offensive coordinator.
When you listen to Doug, did he remind you anybody offhand right off the bat?
No, not off the
A lot of folks in the media were talking at today's session that it kind of reminded them of Willie Fritz with that hoarse, you know, kind of voice. Must be yelling at a lot of people.
Okay, I didn't understand the question, but yeah, no, I get what you're saying at this point. I thought you were talking about like how he answered questions.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
His actual voice.
Yeah, just how he sounded, right?
Man.
It's kind of like a Willie Fritz.
Yeah, right.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll be back to wrap things up right after this on WWL. Oh, felt good to be back on a Monday. Vacation is over. Time to get down to business. We'll hear from Saints legend Deuce McAllister and also NOLA.com columnist Jeff Duncan tomorrow on Sports Talk, talking the latest on NFL free agency and, of course, everything Saints. Thanks for joining us. For Steve Geller, I'm Charlie Long. I'm Steve Geller. Have a great night, everybody. Be talking tomorrow, and have a good one. Later.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.